All right, well, if you got your Bibles, if you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4 today. We're in our series on the book of Ephesians. We've been talking about how now shall we live? How now shall we live? And we found so far that we cannot live a life that is worthy of the call apart from Him, the calling that He has in our lives. We talked about how we can't become mature to attain to that full measure of all the fullness of Christ apart from one another. We need to do that together. We need to be in the body of Christ together. And last week we talked about staying sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Staying sensitive to the Holy Spirit rather than living as the Gentiles or as Americans do today, where what is not supposed to be becomes just the way it is. That's how the Americans live today. We talked about last week, if we live as the Gentiles or the Americans do, then we're living in darkness. We're living separated from the life of God, meaning that we can't attain to that abundant life that He's given us. We live in ignorance. Ignorance is different than being naive. Ignorance is, la, 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 I'm going to do what I want to do, and nobody's going to tell me otherwise. That's ignorance, okay? We're living with a hardened heart, a heart of stone like I had last week. And the result is that we lose a sensitivity to the Spirit. And we give ourselves over to living in sin. We talked about it's the little things that cause our hearts to get hardened. The little things that like, well, I'll listen to this much, but I'm not going to do the rest of what God's Word says. Or maybe a hint of rebellion in our hearts where we're like, oh, I really don't want to do that. So I'm not gonna. We end up living in disobedience. We talked about hurts that cause our hearts to close up, to harden up. We don't want to get hurt again, so we just close up. We become hardened. Or even allowing bitterness and unforgiveness, even to the point of hatred in our hearts, where if we're not careful, like missionary Joseph Gordon said, we can become what we hate. We can become what we hate. And so instead of living like the Gentiles or the Americans do, we are to live with the Lord's help. We're supposed to live like this, not in darkness, but delivered into the kingdom. Not separated, but inseparable from the life of Christ, or from the love of Christ. To keep in step with the Spirit rather than living in ignorance. To not have a hardened heart, but in humility we live. We acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord and that He opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. That we would not become insensitive, but we would stay sensitive to what the Spirit is saying to us, that we'd be able to hear. And that we would not give ourselves over to a life of sin, but that we would give our stony, stubborn hearts to God and receive a tender heart from Him. And at the end last week, I shared a testimony about the house next door and how in the process of going through considering is this God's will, I allowed a little bit of greed to get in my heart, and God needed to expose that. As He told me that He showed me what was in my heart, and also that living in that house would not have brought Him glory. So I'm so thankful that He speaks to us. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. So as a recap from last week, I know the recording didn't work, so I thought that way we'd get it on recording one way or the other, hopefully. But anyway, so today we're going to continue in Ephesians chapter 4 on Paul's instructions on how now shall we live. So if you're in Ephesians 4, verse 20, say I'm there. You ready? Say, let's go. We're going. All right. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off, someone say put off, your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new, someone say made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on, someone say put on, the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Praise God. The title of the message today is Put Off to Put On. Put off to put on. Paul says in verse 20, that, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. What is that, however? What is he referring to there when he says that, however, is not the way of life you learned? Those are the six things that we just talked about. Living in darkness, living separated, living in ignorance with a hardened heart, not being sensitive to the Spirit, giving yourselves over to the lust of the flesh. Those six things, that is not, however, the way of life that you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. That word learning there is a key word for me. I keep seeing that word appear as I'm reading through the Bible. Paul said in Philippians 4 that he had to learn to be content, whatever the circumstances. It wasn't like he just all of a sudden was like, oh, I'm content, I'm good. No, he had to learn to be content before he was content. Jesus said in Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are weak and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. We are all in a process of learning. We are learning as we go through this life, as we walk with the Lord. We're learning more about who he is and who he made us to be. And so for that matter, none of us have this all figured out. None of us do. And that is a key as we go through this series, as we go through today, as we go through all of life, that we are learning to live a life that is worthy of the call of God. We are learning that today. And so we need to see ourselves as those who need to continue learning. Not to say that we've arrived, not to beat ourselves up when we mess up, but that we are in the process of learning. So Paul is helping these believers in Ephesus learn to grow and to mature together, to get equipped so that they would know right from wrong. Like I talked about last week, artist Ben Fuller, he was at the Royal Music Fest. He said he was taking the Lord's name in vain left and right because he didn't know that what he was doing was wrong. He didn't know that. Each of us are learning. We're all at different levels of understanding, even those who are not yet walking with the Lord. We're all at different levels of understanding. And because of that, we need to appreciate and be patient with others around us. Practice the fruit of the Spirit that we all have. Amen? We all have the fruit of the Spirit? Yeah. Not fruits. You don't have one fruit and I have another, but we all have the fruit of the Spirit because the Spirit lives in us. Amen. So, like what we do with student ministries. When you think about some of the kids that come in here on a Wednesday night, we don't know that their parents are teaching them right from wrong. In fact, lots of times they're learning what's wrong to do is just the way that it is. And so we have these students come in here on Wednesday nights, and we get to fill their bellies with food so that they have the energy to learn what is truth, to learn about Jesus, to learn what is right from what is wrong. Amen? And that's why it's so important. Guys, thank you for every time that you've ever brought food. I look at the list out there, though, and I see that there's a lot of blanks for this upcoming year, which starts on Wednesday night. And so I just want to encourage you. That is a big part of what we do on a Wednesday night. Sign up for something out there. You don't have to bring the main course. You don't have to bring the sides. You can bring one or the other. Or you can just bring some food like we did last year. And you need to let us know that you're bringing food so we can cook it. All right, or whatever we need to do to prep it. But otherwise, just bring something, because it's a part of what we do on a Wednesday night. It's an important part. Amen? So, we're all at different levels of understanding, but together in the body of Christ, God is maturing us so that we can reach that full measure of all the fullness of Christ, and then to be able to pour out that full measure into the lives of others. Yeah. So, remembering we still have much to learn, whether we're, 12 to 95. That should get everybody in the room, right? We're all still in the process, except for maybe Mark. Yes. We're all still in the process of learning. And that helps us to keep our hearts sensitive to the Holy Spirit, just to recognize the fact that we're still learning. You guys know what a powerful prayer is? You want to pray a powerful prayer? It's two words. Maybe three. Lord, help me. That'd be the third word. Lord, help me. When we say Lord, we declare we are not Lord, and he is. And when we say help, we are humbling ourselves to say, I can't do it on my own. It's a powerful prayer. It's a simple prayer. Amen? Lord, help me. Lord, help me today. And we can trust this one who is teaching us, as we're learning about Christ, being taught in him, because of his promise in Philippians 1:6, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion. He will carry it out to completion. Yeah. As we learn about Christ, as we are taught in him. And that also means that we have an opportunity, a God-given opportunity in the lives of those that we do life around, to teach them the way of truth patiently, as Paul taught the believers in Ephesus through this book, the book of Ephesians, and doing so in such a way as that we would be speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. It's not a, hey, you're doing this wrong. It's like, hey, you know, I know you want to honor God. I want to honor God too. This, his word talks about, hey, we shouldn't be taking the Lord's name in vain, because that's like using a swear word for Jesus. So I just want to let you know, you want to honor God, I want to honor God. Let's do that together. Amen? There's a difference between, hey, what you're doing is wrong, and that, right? Yeah. And so what is Paul teaching us? That when we live out this other way of life that he's talking about, it's going to cause us to no longer live as the Gentiles do, as the Americans do today. And we need to know that there is another way of life. The students in the Upward Bound program, I've talked about that before, they're all high school age students. And the goal of the program, that they're targeting high school age students that are in low income housing or possibly first generation college students. Because typically, at least in Omaha, those kind of kids would end up in a gang of some sort, because their parents are in the gang, their grandparents are in the gang, they've always done it that way. And so that's what they have to look forward to. And they hope that they won't get shot in the next gunfight. Okay? So this Upward Bound program was to teach them there's another way of life other than what they've been grown up in, other than what they're accustomed to. And so for the Ephesian believers and for us today, we are learning to live in this way of truth, this way of life. And we must each decide, will we choose to live in it, or will we choose to live in our former ways of life? So let's talk about that. Verse 22. Paul says, you were taught in regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Here Paul is beginning to contrast these two ways of living. There's the former way of life as a Gentile or as an American lives, and there's this new way of life that a believer or a follower of Christ lives. And how many know it's okay to compare and contrast when what you're comparing is who you are today as opposed to who you used to be, right? We should be able to see that as we walk with the Lord, that who I am is not who I once was. Praise God. It's like in the process of growing from a child into an adult. Obviously we've been looking at possibly like closing up all of our stuff in our house and trying to figure out what we need to get rid of in our house and what is it that we don't need to be dragging along with us for whatever it is that God is calling us to do. And so I've been going through stuff in my room, and I found my baby book. Anybody have their baby book still? I got it as a gift from my mom. And so in my baby book, my mom had written in there many of my firsts. When I first smiled, my first word was, when I sat up for the first time, when I stood up for the first time, who my playmates were. You know, when you're that young, your playmates aren't decided by you. No, your parents decide who your playmates are because they're friends of them, right? And they're their kids. So that's who your playmates are when you're 1, 2, 3, 4, something like that years old. What I liked and what I didn't like. There's even tufts of hair in my baby book from when I was a year old, where I was a blonde-headed kid and I had all these curls in my hair. Now I had to put gel in my hair to make it curly, right? But it brought back memories of how I used to live as a child. Some things that I don't even remember, obviously, too long ago. But as is supposed to be, and this is 1 Corinthians 13:11, when you become a man or a woman, you put away childish things. In the Greek there, it says that word put away means to bring an end to. You bring an end to childish things. When we are taught the truth, as we hear about Jesus, and our faith rises in us, for faith comes by hearing, as we learn about him, it changes us. He changes us. He brings transformation in our lives, and we can see that. And it becomes time during that process of learning. It becomes time to bring an end to some things or to put away some things. And so Paul says in verse 22, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. That means put off or put away. It means to lay something down or aside, like a garment. I've been wanting to take this off the whole service. To lay it down. Like when you go to someone's house at wintertime, and maybe a bunch of people are coming over, and somebody grabs at the front door, they grab all the coats, and they take them back to the bedroom, and they lay them down, because they probably don't have enough room in their coat closet for all the coats, right? They lay them down. That's what it's talking about. We need to put off or lay down our old self so that as we hear about Jesus and learn his way of life, we are to put off or lay aside our former way of life. Now, this old self isn't a coat that we can shed. In the Greek, it's the word anthropos, this old self. It's anthropos. It generally means human being, but in this context, it means the old man, the old woman. To lay that down, who we used to be before Jesus, our own BC, right? Before Christ, our own BC in our own life. To lay that down, and maybe how we still live as we are learning this new way of life. For we are all a piece of work, aren't we? Yes. We're all a work in progress. We're all a work in progress. And this old self is the same word that Paul uses in Ephesians 3:16, where he's praying that we would be strengthened with power through his spirit in our anthropos, in our inner being, in our inner being. This old man, this old self is corruptible and still is corruptible, like rust growing on a car or mold growing on a fruit. It has been corrupted by the desires of the flesh, and it needs to be put off. Needs to be put off. I think about removing rust from a car, not necessarily from the rear quarter panels where it's just falling off, the rust is, but like a spot on the side of the car, there's like a spot of rust, and you have to, what do you got to do to get that spot of rust off? You got to sand it or grind it. I think about a grinder. What happens when you grind metal against metal? Sparks fly, yeah. It's not easy. It's not always easy to get that rust off because it becomes so attached to that metal. In a similar way, it can be painful to put off the old self. But here's the good news. In Christ, it is possible. In Christ, the impossible is possible. Even what we think ourselves is, well, that works for Sally or Harry or whoever it may be, but not for me. No. If you have Christ in you, the impossible is possible. Yeah. So as believers hear about Christ, both in Ephesus and us today, and we learn this new way of truth, this new way of life, we are strengthened with power in His Holy Spirit, or by His Holy Spirit, and we're surrounded in the love of Christ. And in that environment, we can not only recognize, discern who this old man is. Ooh, that doesn't please you, Lord. But also be given the ability to lay that down. We don't have to live in that way anymore. Just because we were raised this way, just because, well, that's just the way I am and nothing can change that. We don't have to live that way anymore. That's step one of three today. Step one is put off the old man. This old man is of us. It's of us. Rather, it's what we've made out of the life that we've been given. It includes all of our sins, all of our wrongdoing, all of our mistakes, and it needs to be set aside permanently. And when I say permanently, I mean habitually, sin that we're habitually living in, right? We're all going to continue to mess up. We're all going to fall short of the glory of God, even after we're saved, all right? But that we wouldn't continue to go back and live in those ways anymore. And so how do we do this? It's a good question, right? We need to know how to do these things that we're talking about. It starts with confessing your sins. Saying to the Lord, God, I'm sorry. This doesn't please you. I'm sorry. I confess that this is sin in my life, and I acknowledge it as that. We bring those things into the light, whatever that thing is in our lives. Greed, pride, sexual immorality, all of the different things that become sin in our lives. And then number two, we repent. We choose to no longer live this way. Well, that's easy to say, Pastor. Yeah, I'll just walk away from something that it's been part of my life for my entire life and I can't let it go. right? No. The impossible is possible. As you rely on Jesus Christ to help you with this, remember our powerful prayer? Lord, help! As we rely on Christ to let this stuff go, we can walk away from it. He can give us a new way of life. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Now he's talking about when we are saved, when we give our lives to the Lord. But even as believers, like I said earlier, we're going to still run into times where we need to confess our sins and repent. And then confess. And then repent. And then confess. And then repent. Right? That's going to happen over and over again, like my testimony last week. But does that mean that we need to get saved over and over again every time we mess up? No. No. Does it mean that if we mess up after getting saved, we won't go to heaven? No, that is a pernicious lie of the enemy. Okay? I just had that asked of me this last week. No. We confess it, we repent it, and we trust Jesus to help us overcome it. Amen? Amen. Jesus said to Peter in John 13, after washing the disciples' feet, he said this. He said, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. When we are saved, when we make the decision to follow Jesus, our whole inner man is washed clean and we get a do-over. Can someone say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But then begins the process of sanctification. This is step two. We're going to talk about it in a minute. Where occasionally we need to get our feet washed again. We need to get our feet washed each time we start walking in that path. Each time we're like, ooh, I've been doing this and I shouldn't be doing that. We need to get our feet washed. What's that? Stepped in the mud, yep. That slippery slope. So step one is putting on the old man. Putting off the old man. Thank you. Putting off the old man. And this putting off is not a once and done thing like we've been talking about, but something that we will need to do as we learn more about the way of life in Christ and what that looks like for each one of us. Okay? So some things we understand when we first get saved that we need to put off. Other things come in our journey with the Lord where we realize, oh, wait, that doesn't please you either. I need to put that off as well. That's what I'm saying. So that's step one. Put off the old man. Step two. This is verse 23. To be made new in the attitude of your minds. That short phrase, to be made new, means renewed. It means renewed. And in this context, it means to be renovated by inward reformation. It's a lot of big words. Renovated by inward reformation. It basically means like if you were to go inside your house and you were to paint all of the walls, right? It's kind of like that. The inside has been made new. The inside has been made new. It's the same old building. Same old building and loan. Merry Christmas, you old building and loan. Right? Sorry, I went Christmassy on you there for a little bit. Sorry. That would be It's a Wonderful Life, in case you missed the reference. So it's the same old building on the outside, but all new on the inside, renewed by renovations. Jesus is bringing his furniture in. Jesus is hanging pictures on the wall of who he made you and I to be. That's what we're talking about here, to be renewed, to be renewed. And where are we renewed? In the attitude of our minds, or the spirit of our minds. What is that? That's the seat or the place of our thoughts and our feelings. The place where they come from. So in other words, he's saying to be renewed in the place where your attitude comes from. That place which your thoughts and your feelings are formed. Isn't it important that we need to have renewal where our thoughts and our feelings come from? Because they can come through a lot of, they can bring a lot of wickedness out of them, right? They can bring a lot of bad stuff out of them. So we need to be renewed in that place. So that renewing is crucial. And it must follow putting off the old self. So how do we get renewed? That's another good question, right? I'm glad you asked. It's the Holy Spirit that does the renewal. It's the Holy Spirit that does the renewal as we put off the old man. Now, we can try to change our attitudes. We can try to change our thoughts and our feelings. But if we aren't putting off the old self before that happens, we're going to find ourselves back there again and again and again. No, this is not deja vu. And again, right? Going back and doing the same things over and over and over again, right? We need to recognize we are not the ones who bring the renewal in our lives. Our renewal is only momentary. Tell my kids sometimes, change your attitude, I'm going to change it for you, right? Okay, I'll change my attitude. Doesn't mean it changes next time, right? When we humble ourselves and look to him to bring renewal, he is the one who brings lasting renewal in our lives. Well, if the Holy Spirit does the renewing, then I don't have anything to do. I can just set this down and I can just sit back and wait for it to happen, right? No. Part of getting rid of the old and looking forward to the new, which is step three, is a longing to be renewed, a desire for renewal. It's what brought you and I to Christ to begin with, right? Why would we have gotten saved if there wasn't a longing to have a change in my life, right? We all know what it's like to long for things, don't we? I mean, like, we long for a lot of different things. Some of them are good, some of them are bad, right? We long for good things, we long for bad things. But here's the thing, God gave us the ability to long for things. Why? Because he wants us to long for him, Mark. He wants us to long for him. As the psalmist cried out in Psalm 42, as the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with him? Right? That's longing. Hopefully you saw longing in that. We long to be transformed. We long for that inward renewal. We desire that that would happen in our lives because every time that we have experienced this, we've seen good things come. No matter what the hard things are we have to go through to get to that place, we see good things come. We can taste and see that the Lord is good. We can taste and see that. Jesus came to set the captive free. Do you know that God also longs for you? If we're made in his image, then this longing that he gives us is also a longing that he has. He has a longing for us as well. Jesus said in Matthew 23 and verse 37 of those in Jerusalem. So just replace the word Jerusalem when I read this here with your name. Matthew 23 and verse 37, he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to you, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers its chicks under its wings. But you are unwilling. There's a longing that God has to gather us together because he knows that in his embrace we will find freedom. He knows that in his embrace we will find redemption. He knows that in his embrace we will find transformation. Amen? Come on, somebody. Not only does God see our past sins and our mistakes, those who stone the prophets and kill those who are sent to them, right? He sees that. And our future ones. But he longs to have us with him. He longs for that. And it's the same longing that brings us to salvation. And as we continue to see, and here's the thing, is like we can have a longing for him. We can have a longing for him. But it doesn't mean that we long for him in every area of life. There's still some things that we long for something else, right? But as we continue to taste and see that the Lord is good, he will change those longings into ones that please him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So step one, put off the old corrupted man. Step two, his Holy Spirit renews us as we continue tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. As we continue to long for him, to long to be with him. Step three, put on the new self. Put on the new self, created to be like God in righteousness and holiness. Put on there, it means to clothe oneself. It's the opposite of taking off the winter coat, okay? But except in this case, we're putting on something new. What are we putting on? That word new in the Greek means new in species, character, or mode. And then in this context, it means character, a new character. And self, again, is that word anthropos inner man. So putting it together in context, Paul is saying to be clothed with a new character for our inner man. That's what he's saying. Meaning we live differently than how we used to. That's what it means. One, to live as one who is created to be like God or created in God's likeness. See, this old self is of us. It's what we've made of it, right? It's been corrupted and is corruptible by deceitful desires. But this new self is of God. This new self is of God. It's created to be like him, but specifically in righteousness, Jacob, and holiness. Two attributes that we cannot fabricate on our own. Amen? To be dressed in a robe of righteousness and holiness. I don't have any kind of parallel that I could put on today, so you're just going to have to improvise, right, with me? But to be clothed with righteousness and holiness, his righteousness and his holiness, is to wear some pretty killer threads. Amen? I like that. Pretty killer threads. We can't just put on the new self created to be like God, though. We got to go through the process. We can't start at just putting on the new self. We got to put off the old. We got to be made new or renewed, and we can put on the new. Here's the main point today. To put on what is of God, we got to take off what's of us. To put on what is of God, we got to take off what's of us. That's how it starts. In other words, you can't put on the new, you can't be renewed if you don't first put off the old. I like this from Romans chapter 13. I'm getting ready to close here. And do this, Paul says, understanding the present time. It's important that we understand the present time. Anyone? Bueller? Thank you, Keith. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. We've been talking about that today. Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Do you sense an urgency? So he says, let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy, all those ways as a Gentile lives. Rather, he says in verse 14 of Romans 13, rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. How many sins will we avoid if we stop thinking about how we would gratify the desires of the flesh? We got to be renewed. We got to take off the old man. Let his Holy Spirit renew us. And we can put on what is new. So as we close today, I just want to ask you, have you taken off the old man? As far as you've learned or discerned up to this point. Have you taken off all of that stuff that you still go to over here? Or is there something lingering? Something that makes you keep going back to fulfilling a need in a different way, in a way that doesn't please God? I keep going back to that again and again. Last week we talked about having a heart that was hardened. We talked about staying sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I invited you to come up and to confess that. Today I want to give you an opportunity to come up and lay those things down. Whatever those things are that are in your heart. Those old things, those things of the old man, those things that keep you from being renewed so you can put on the new man. And I just want you to know, the altars of our lives, they are a place of humility, but they're also a place of refreshing. They're a place of renewal. And as we take a step to whatever the altar is in your home or in your job or in your car or up here, you come in humility, but you come to be refreshed and to be renewed. And so I'm going to pray, but before you leave today, I just want you to consider that question. Is there something lingering of the old man that needs to be laid down? Will you stand with me today? Father, I thank you for your words. That your words are truth. Your words show us the way of life. Your words bring transformation in our hearts. And Lord, I recognize that we are all learners. We are learning to how to do this life. We are learning how to walk with you. We are learning what living for Jesus looks like. We are learning what how you made us to be. And so, God, as we walk that journey out, there's sometimes that we need to put some things down or lay some things aside to bring an end to things. So, God, if there's anything like that today in any of our hearts, just invite you, as I pray, to come forward and just be here at this altar. Lay it down right here at this altar. It could even be a physical thing, something that you have in your possession that isn't pleasing to the Lord, to lay that down. It may be today that you need to lay down your old life. You need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, or you need to rededicate your life to him. So I just invite you to come forward as well, if there's anybody in the room that's in that place. But God, change us, bring transformation in our lives. God, as we lay down things today, if there's anybody here that needs to lay down something today, that we'd be willing to come forward and to lay those things down as we worship here.